Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it's our intention to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject, and you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us by the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. In Ephesians 4, in verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That word corrupt is a word that means rotten, worthless, putrefying. So corrupt words includes anything that injures others and sparks dissension. And this covers a sin of the tongue like grumbling. God wants edifiers to speak constructive words. But when it comes to the sin of grumbling, most of us don't like whiners, and neither does God. Paul commanded in Philippians 2, verse 14, do all things without grumbling. Grumbling, or a grumbler, when they grumble, it's usually in a low voice, so that he'll not be heard by others. He is what we would call a cowardly assassin, for that's what the end result of grumbling comes to. Grumbling isn't constructive criticism, by no means. Constructive criticism is something that's said in love to help another person to grow. And when it comes to fair evaluations and kind criticism, that's what's needed to help us to improve. In Romans chapter 15, let's read verse 14. Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. But grumbling is the sin of harsh, unconstructive, unhelpful, exaggerated, complaining. In fact, grumbling is one of the sins that killed the Israelites in the wilderness. God had finally had enough with the Israelites grumbling. It only spreaded negativity over God's people. And notice what we read here in Numbers 14, verses 27 through 29. How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who are grumbling against me? I have heard the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Your corpses will fall in this wilderness, who have grumbled against me. See, grumbling is a negative, it's a selfish opinion that makes things appear worse than they are. It can negatively influence the direction of God's people. So here, this rot spread among the people to poison their attitudes. Grumbling must be stopped. And note, too, that grumbling in Numbers 14 against Moses, who was doing God's work, was actually grumbling against the work of God. God took the Israelites out of Egypt in order to bring them to the Promised Land. And the challenges of the wilderness, the journey exposed the weaknesses of the Israelites. It showed just how shallow their faith was. This is what grumbling will do. I want us to just look at how it was that they just constantly grumbled. They grumbled at Moses that he had brought them out to the Red Sea to be killed by what seemingly was the overwhelming Egyptian army. We read that in Exodus 14, verses 10 through 12. They grumbled at Moses for the three-day march in the desert to only find bitter water. We read that in the 15th chapter of Exodus, verses 22 through 26. They grumbled at Moses and Aaron for having to march hungry in the wilderness. We read that in Exodus 16, verses 2 and 3. They grumbled at Moses for a lack of water to drink in the desert. That was in Exodus 17, the first four verses. They grumbled at Moses in private over the long hardships of the life in the desert. This we find in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. They grumbled at Moses for a lack of meat due to the fact that they had become tired of having only manna to eat. This we read in Numbers 11, verses 4 through 10. They murmured at Moses and Aaron due to the negative report of the spies that had searched out the promised land and came back and told them that it's just too difficult to conquer. That we read in Numbers 14, verses 2 through 11. They murmured at Moses and Aaron by some of the Levites, because they were jealous over Moses and Aaron's leadership position. That we read in Numbers 16 in the first three verses. They murmured at Moses and Aaron in unfairly blaming them for the deaths of Korah and his conspirators that had rebelled against Moses and Aaron's leadership. That's in Numbers 16, verse 41. They murmured at Moses for a lack of water and fruit that was promised them in Numbers 20, verses 2 and 5. They murmured at God and Moses for the hardship of the long wilderness journey in Numbers 21, verses 4 and 5. See, that God, in what he was trying to do, to bring Israel out of their bondage in Egypt to that land that flowed with milk and honey. And yet, here is what he gets in return. Grumblers have a negative attitude. They exaggerate problems, and they only think about their own ease and comfort instead of sacrificing for the greater work of God. They weren't supportive. They weren't encouraging to Moses and Aaron. In fact, they made distorted charges against Moses' competence. They charged and impugned his motives. And they did this because they were selfishly short-sighted due to a weak faith and a bad attitude of heart. The Hebrew writer speaks about them in the third chapter of Hebrews. Let's look there, first of all, at verse 10. He says, "Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways." And then it's dropped to verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Constant grumbling is evidence of a self-absorbed character flaw. Such a negative attitude leads to hurtful words. These grumblers so angered God on three occasions that he killed some of them instantly. We read of one occasion in Numbers 11, verse 3, and we read of two other occasions in the 16th chapter of Numbers. One is in verses 31 through 35, and the other is in verses 45 through 49. And while God's patience finally ran out with the whole nation, and he condemned them to wander in the wilderness until that generation died. In other words, the generation that had come out of Egyptian bondage would not be the same people that would enter into the land of promise. Only two of that original number, Joshua and Caleb, were able to see and enter the promised land, because they were just simply spiritually unfit to inherit the promised land. Now, don't these scriptures that we looked at just a moment ago, don't they sober us up about the serious sin of grumbling in the church? You know, Paul directly commanded in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 10, "Do not grumble as some of them did and were destroyed by the destroyer." Jude also makes reference to this. In, of course, there's no chapters in Jude, but in verse 16, "These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." If we're honest, most of us will have to admit that we all have been guilty of grumbling against other brethren. We need to be careful that our attitude doesn't degenerate so that we become constant grumblers that can hurt the church. Edifiers are constructive. Let's be edifiers that build up the work of God instead of tearing it and other members down. Romans 14 and verse 19. "Let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another." Now, edifiers, they don't overlook problems or sin, but they deal with them in a positive, loving way. Before we speak, we need to think. Is this true? Is this helpful? Is this important? Is this needed? Is this kind? You know, if we put on the helpful, caring character of our Lord, let's read that in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do." If we put on that helpful, caring character of Christ, it'll remove negative murmuring in the church that hurts its progress and discourages members. In Colossians 3, let's look at verses 14 and 15. "Above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. Be thankful. For in love always thinks and speaks in the best interest of others. Peace is all that scripturally promotes wholesome harmony and edifying unity." Our time is up. Thank you for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.